that are ours. Just like this great and precious promises that by these exceeding, it didn't say just normal promises. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding, in 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these exceeding great and precious promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature. God's divine nature. Now, that means we can get angels to help us. We can do all kinds of things. But to be a partaker of God's divine nature means we have no lack of power, no needs. Our needs have all been met. We are blessed and blessed abundantly with the power of these magnificent angels. And the Lord has told us here in His Word, according as His divine power has given unto us all things. So there's not anything that was available to Jesus that's not available to us, because He gave Jesus all things. But now then He's turned around and has given us all things, and then He's given us all these exceeding great and precious promises, that by these great and precious promises, we can become partakers of the divine nature of God. Isn't that amazing? And it says that as we become the partakers of the divine nature, we will have escaped from the corruption that is in the world through lust. I think about the many things God has revealed to me through His Word, and how I've acted on His Word, and I've seen His glory. Just like that angel that helped us stand that wall up there. But that's not all. These exceeding great and precious promises, the Word of God is full of these great and exceeding precious promises, that when we learn that Jesus came to this earth 2,000 years ago, and He defeated the fallen angels. He defeated Satan and his forces of darkness. And they have no power over us, not at all. Jesus told us that Satan has no power over us. He told us clearly in Hebrews 2:14, Colossians 2:15, and Luke 10:19-20, that the devil is defeated, he's stripped of all of his power and armament, and now then he's given us all power over the devil, and the devil shall in no wise hurt us. Now think about what he said here. And besides this, as he's talking about being partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, he says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. Patience is one of the things that we definitely are falling way behind on as children of God. I heard a preacher on television the other day I was listening to, and great man of God. He's on this network, and he's a great man of God. And he made a statement. He said, I'm probably the only person in the world that can go up to McDonald's and order a fast food restaurant and order me a burger and drive around to the back to pick it up and start beating on the window and saying, hurry up, I'm in a hurry. He said, it only takes them a minute or two anyway. But he said, there I am in too big of a hurry. But we're all in too big of a hurry. But it says if we learn all of these things, and we will learn patience. And that's what this man needs, patience. And it says, after patience, godliness. In other words, our goal should to become just like Christ. We should be godly. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. Now, this is the greatest of all the gifts, love. Because the Word of God says that without love, your faith will not work. If you don't walk in the God kind of love, your faith will not work. Wow. Verse 80 says, for if these things. Now, this is another thing that it's amazing how many times the word if is used in the Word of God. For if these things. If these things. If they be in you. If they be in you. What things? All those things we just discussed. If all these things be in you and they abound. Not just be a little bit in you, they have to abound. They will make you that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to meet this criteria that the Lord has laid out here. You need to realize that all things are yours. Everything, and these exceeding great and precious promises, of which Matthew 18:19 is only one, The book is full of them. The Bible is full of dozens and dozens and dozens of promises. And I'm talking about even under the new covenant, direct promises that will get you set free from everything you have problem with. But if these things be in you and they abound, they will make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you don't get in the Word, you don't study the Word, you will definitely be barren. But you have to study the Word of God. It says, but he that lacketh these things is blind. In other words, if you don't get in the Word of God and study it, you're blind. You will be blind to all these things. You won't know anything about healing. You won't know anything about deliverance. You won't know anything about what salvation package promises you. But it says, but if you do not do these things, if you lack any of these things that God has said, you'll be blind. And you cannot see afar off, and you have forgotten that you were purged from your old sins. It's so easy to run into a Christian that does not realize they've been purged from their old sins and that they are a new creature in Christ. It says, wherefore the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Give diligence. I mean, read the word, study it. It says, for if you do these things, all these things he's talking about. If you do all these things, you shall never fail. Never fall. You shall never. In other words, the Lord tells us in his word over there in Matthew, the more I read the story about the man, the two men, one of them built his house on the sand and the other one built his house on the rock. Now then, the man that built his house on the rock and the man that built his house on the sand, it said, when the trials and tests or storms of life come, which means they're going to come to both of those two guys. In other words, that enemy, he is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. That enemy is going to come to your house. He's going to do everything he can to torment you. He's going to do everything he can to make your house fall. Your house, your dwelling place. He's going to do what he can to destroy your temple. That's his goal. Steal, kill, and to destroy. Put sickness and disease upon you to do everything he can to mess up your life. But the Lord said in his word, if you'll build your house on the rock, now the rock is Jesus Christ. He said, when the storms of life come, the man that built his house on the sand, great will be his fall. Great will be the fall. His house will be washed away. His body will be destroyed. That's his temple. That's his house. But he said, the man that builds his house on the rock, the one that builds it on Jesus Christ, he said, when the storms of life come, that house will still be standing and it will be sure. It will never fall. And he's telling us here the same thing. If you do these things that he's talking about here, you shall never fail or you shall never fall. Now, angels want to get involved with your life here on this earth. The angels of God are here on earth to help you And so put them to work for you. Put the angels to work for you. Read the Word of God. In fact, remember, your angels are listening to what you say. So only speak the kind of words God speaks, or these angels will leave you. I've made a joke a few times when I was a younger man. Of course, I don't know if it's changed much, maybe in different ways. But when I was younger, I used to race cars and fly airplanes and do all kinds of things. And I think about my angels and how busy they were keeping me safe from physical harm and from spiritual evil. I can only imagine how busy my angels were. But they're probably just as busy today, because my walk with God has so changed. Today I know that by walking in God's Word, teaching His Word, being one of His pastors now, I know there's a greater test of my faith from the enemy. The enemy is going to do everything he can to take you and me out. So make sure that you get your angels and get them involved. Now then, Luke chapter 12, verse 8, I want to read a scripture to you here. It says, "Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him, the Son of God, will also confess before the angels of God. Now then, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God." In other words, if Jesus denies you to the angels, you don't confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You don't confess the Father as your Father. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then it says Jesus will not confess you before the angels. So when you ask the Father in Jesus' name for an angel, He won't send it. You will not get an angel. I don't know about you, but I want an angel. I want to be able to have my angel sent to my charge to watch over me and protect me. Angels want to get involved in your life here on earth. The angels of God are here on earth to help you, so put them to work for you. Remember, your angels are listening to what you say. So don't speak the kinds of words God, don't just speak any kind of word. Speak the words that God speaks, or your angels will leave you. If you will constantly speak the Word of God and confess the Word of God, then these mighty angels of God, these guys will hearken to the Word of God. And as you speak the words of God, these angels will be called on the scene, and they will do great and mighty things for you.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.